Happy Palm Sunday. I'm so glad that you have chosen to be with us this morning. And we really do want this to be a worship service. And we really want you to open your Bible, if you have a Bible, or turn your phone or on or iPad, whatever. Because really and truly, we believe that our guidance comes from God's Word, not from man, not from the news. And we also believe that the person named Jesus is the most important part. Last week, I began a series called What Now? And last Sunday morning, we talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where we are told to trust Him. And that is so important in times like that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about seeking Him. He said, seek me. And I don't know if you watch the news like I do. I've tried to cut back on the amount of news that I watch, but I do watch a lot of it. And, you know, it's just kind of depressing. You know, typically we're told every day how many new cases we have, how many people are in the hospital, how many people have died. And not only are we told that about our state, but we are told that about the entire world. So daily I get my daily dose of death and destruction and sickness. And it gets a little depressing from time to time. But last night I thought it was real interesting. I was watching a news show and they were talking about how COVID-19 has affected people's emotional being. And here's what they found in this survey. They said that 48% of us are now anxious about getting sick. 48%. Now, really not worried about that right now, but 48% are anxious about getting sick. It said that 40% were anxious about getting seriously ill. I mean, I don't think we really thought we could get sick and die until this virus came into our lives. And then it said this, 36% of Americans are saying that this crisis, this virus, is having a serious effect on their mental health. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know this, that one of the things I struggle with, which Jesus is going to address this morning, is worry. Do you know one of the worst things you can do as you stay at home and as you're by yourself? One of the worst things you can do is worry. Do you know, worry is destructive. And one of the things that I found is that if you are a worrier, listen to this, the consequences of worry is that it suppresses your immune system, so you get sick more often. If you worry, you have digestive disorders. If you worry, you have muscle tension. If you worry, you have short-term memory loss. Maybe that's my problem. And then it says this, get this. If you worry all the time, you promote premature coronary artery disease. So even though the virus may never come into your life, if you worry about it, you can develop heart disease. And then it says also that heart attacks are one of the consequences of worry. See, you may not get sick from this virus, but you can sit at home and worry about it and get sick. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? They went on to say that if you continue to worry and you don't let go of it, that you're just setting yourself up for depression. And not only depression, but possibly suicidal thoughts. You see, worry is destructive. As a matter of fact, it says in Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. Worry just weighs you down. The word worry is from a Greek word, and I think this is so interesting. You may not think it's interesting, but the word worry in the Greek means to divide. If you start worrying about stuff, you just basically are splitting yourself. It means to draw apart. And what happens is when we get caught up in worry, we become divided. We're not whole. And that's why I believe Jesus spoke the words that he did in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Listen to these words. In verse 25, he says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that they are here today and thrown into fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you." And then he says this, "Why do you have so little faith?" So don't worry about these things saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then verse 33, which is the key to it all. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today." I don't know about you, but that passage has so much encouragement for me. And the first thing I want you to see that Jesus is saying in this passage, He's saying, "Seek me by faith." The only way you have a relationship with Jesus Christ is through faith. And in verse 25, He is telling not only those disciples in His day, but He's telling you and I that we are not supposed to worry. The English Standard Version says it stronger. It says, "Do not be anxious about your life." It's a command. The command that Jesus gives to us as disciples is that we're not to worry. And He goes on to say, not only are you not to worry, but in the Greek it implies that they were already worrying. You're to stop worrying. Let me ask you something. Are you worried right now? Are you worried about the future? You know, I was driving around yesterday and we just had to get out and got in the car, drove around. And one of the things I realized, I'm so glad my kids aren't in college because two of them were student teachers. And see, I think like this all the time. I'm a negative worrier. I thought, thank goodness they already got their teaching degree, because do you realize if you were having to do the training where you, what is it called, not substitute teach?
Internship.
One more time?
Practice teaching,
I guess. What would you do? Would you have to go another year to college? Would it be that much more expensive? And so, you know, what the idea here is that Jesus is saying, guys, stop worrying. I know you're worrying, but stop worrying. And then he says, stop worrying about everyday life. That literally means everything. We are commanded by Jesus Christ to not worry about stuff. We're commanded by Jesus to not worry about life. You know what worry is? It's a sin. And here's the thing that I have to remind myself of so often. Worry is the sin of distrusting God in His care for my life. When I worry, what I'm really saying is, God, you forgot about me. God, you're not in control. And really, when I worry, I'm just saying, God help, I'm out here by myself. And that's not true. You see, Jesus is trying to get across to His disciples is that worry is dangerous. Worry is not good. But folks, I'm going to confess to you, worry is my biggest struggle as a Christian. I struggle with it all the time. I worry about my kids. I worry about my church members. I worry about our country. I mean, I struggle with that. And when I struggle with that, what I'm basically saying is that I'm not trusting God. You know, the old German word for worry is a word that meant to strangle or choke. When you start worrying, you're choking your emotional self, but also your spiritual life. Worry is destructive. And the basic thrust of these verses is this, that as a Christian, we're not to worry because God's got everything under control. And he uses several illustrations that I can relate to so well. First of all, in verse 26, he says, you're not to worry about food. And he says, look at the birds. And I just imagine when Jesus was teaching, the birds were flying around. He goes, look at those birds. He says, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. And then what does he say? For your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, aren't you worth more than those birds? You know, one of the things I've enjoyed since we've been staying at home is looking out the window and watching the birds. Man, they got it made. They just go eat. And then I realized yesterday, I'm putting out food for them. They don't, you know, it's like a, it's just a great time for birds right now because I'm watching them and I keep filling it up. And the thing that Jesus is saying is, listen, guys, those birds are totally dependent on God. And if those birds are totally dependent upon God to feed them, you need to be dependent upon God as well. And then he said in verse 27, you're not to worry about living a long life. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can any worry lengthen your life? No, it actually can shorten your life. Dr. Charles Mayo said this, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man who died from overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. I mean, worry is destructive and it takes away from your life. It doesn't add to your life. And so what he is saying is, guys, don't do that. And then he goes to clothing. You know, one of the things I've noticed about all this isolation stuff, I don't have to worry about getting dressed up. I haven't taken near as many showers as I normally do. Why? Because you don't see anybody. Clothes aren't important. And he says, but you don't need to worry about clothing. You know, it's interesting, in the day that Jesus was speaking, most people that he was speaking to only had one set of clothes. And if Jesus tells those people not to worry about their clothing, shouldn't most of us just not really worry about it? I would imagine most everybody that is hearing me this morning has more than one set of clothes. We need to understand that God provides for not only our physical needs, but he also dresses us. And he uses an illustration. He says, look at the wildflowers. Now, people, since I've moved to Mount Ida, one of the things I love to do is look at the flowers. All around my house, there are these little wildflowers that are growing, and they're beautiful. And it's just God provides them. We have a dogwood tree on this side of the church, and I went over the day and I was just like, man, this is beautiful. The thing that Jesus is trying to get across is we don't need to worry about these things. He says the reason is because we have faith in God. We trust him. And that's why you get to verse 30 and he says, why do you have so little faith? If you're struggling with worry, the question you need to ask yourself is, where is my faith? Are you trusting in the government? See, a lot of people think the government's the solution. And a lot of people think that the doctors are the solution. But ultimately, we need to understand that God is the solution. Our faith has to be in God. And he says, why do you have so little faith? Anytime We seek help from Jesus. We need to believe that He can give it. We need to understand that worry says basically, I don't trust you, God. And in verses 31 and 32, he says, listen, don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Listen, he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. You see, when we begin to worry about all this stuff, when we're consumed by it, we're living like an unbeliever. And so the solution is to understand that we need to, by faith, trust God to take care of us. Now, I grew up with a very loving dad, and I never worried about anything. You know why? Because Dad was there. I have a grandson. Let me tell you what. Liam doesn't need to worry about anything. Because if his dad can't take care of it, his granddad can. He's got two of them will do it. And the thing is, Liam just needs to trust his dad and his granddads. If he does that, life will be good. And it's the same with us. We have to trust God. Now, several things. Let's get practical for just a second. Number one, if you're a worrier, it's a sin and you need to confess it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I trust you. I'm sorry for not trusting you. And then a second thing, when you find yourself worrying, you need to pray about it. You need to say, Lord, this is your problem. I love 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Here's what I would challenge you to do if you struggle with worry. Get out a prayer journal, a notebook, blank book, and write down every single thing you're worried about. If it's your job, write your job. If it's money, write it down. If it's your kids, if it's your marriage, write it down. And then at the end of your list, you stop and just say, okay, Lord, here it is. It's yours now. And leave it with Him. That's what it means to give all your worries and cares to God and just to say, Lord, I trust you to take care of these things. I need your help. We need to understand that worry is us trying to take care of things in our own power. Now, the third thing that goes with that is you just need to place your faith in Jesus. Who are you trusting to get through this? Who are you trusting? Those are such important things to remember, is that we have to seek Him by faith. And when we do that, we won't be caught up in worry. But look at the second thing. The second thing he says is, seek me first in your life. I'm here to tell you, this verse, verse 33, will change your life. If you live this verse, it will change you. I promise that. This has probably been the verse that through the years has meant the most to me. Look what it says. It says in verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And then it says, and live righteously. And then look at the promise. And He will give you everything you need. This verse can literally change your life, whether you're a kid, a teenager, or an adult. If you will seek the kingdom of God above everything else, If you will live righteously, live with your moral behavior as a Christian, if you will do that, He will take care of what you need to accomplish His plan for your life. I like the way it says it in the NIV. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Don't miss the but. He said, instead of worrying, seek first the kingdom of God. What do you do instead of worrying? Well, you put God number one. It will literally change your life when you begin to seek Him. That word in the Greek is a present active imperative. It means you continually, the rest of your life, seek to put Him number one. If you want to live in this world that is so difficult, you better put Him number one. He's also saying, instead of seeking worldly goals, seek spiritual goals. Let me just ask you a question. What are you seeking in your life right now? You're at home 24/7, a lot of you. Some of you work, some of you are there all day long. What's number one in your life? What's the number one thought in your life? Is He in charge of your life? He says to seek God's kingdom above everything else. You see, I believe this time of being home is a time to redo our priority list. I think one of the major problems in my life and really of Americans is our priorities are way out of line. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything that comes between you and God. And so if you're seeking God first, that means He's first. Let me tell you how I think that looks. It means when Sunday rolls around as a time to worship, you do what? You go worship publicly. It means on a daily basis, you get along and worship Him privately. But I have found that we have allowed so many other things to be in our life as priorities that God's not even a top priority. And I believe this time of being home is a time to say, Lord, what needs to go in my life? You see, it grieves me that we live in this world and God's not the most important thing in our life. And I think He's ripped a lot of this stuff away from us to make us evaluate our life and say, what is number one? You know, my kids knew growing up, whether they liked it or not, they knew where they were going to be on Sundays. They knew where they were going to be on Wednesdays. Why? It was a priority. Now, it's only one priority, and I'm not talking about legalism, but one of the things we need to understand is we need to put God first in every area of your life. You know, some people say, well, God's one, family's two, work's three. No, that's wrong. It's God's one. God's one in your family. God's one in your work. It's God's one. There's never a time in a believer's life when God's supposed to be two. And so we see Jesus saying here, you need to seek Me first. I need to be your top priority. I need to be more important than anything else in your life. And the question I have, is that true of you? Is God the most important thing in your life? Is He a priority? You look at your pocketbook and you look at your calendar and you will see what priority is. Seek first My kingdom. You are either putting Him first or you're putting something else. But then He says, and live righteously. Now this is a word to us believers. He's not talking about the righteousness that God gives us at salvation. He's talking about ethical righteousness. In other words, get this, we're supposed to be different than the world. It says to live righteously. It's to have moral standards. We are different than the world. And Jesus is saying, seek Me first. Live righteously, and then the blessing. Notice the blessing. He says, I'll take care of everything else. The reason many times we're not getting the blessing from God is because He's not number one, and we're not living for Him. You see, I believe this verse can change your life. Here's how it worked for me. And I've shared this story many, many times. But I was a youth pastor. And I wanted to be a pastor, and I couldn't find a date. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, some of it my looks, but I mean, I was serving in a little small town in Texas, and I got kind of discouraged because, you know, single pastors really weren't hot on the market at that time. You know, who goes out and says, hey, I want a single pastor? No, they always want a married pastor. Well, I didn't want to have a wife just to be a pastor. I wanted a wife. That was my whole goal, was to have a family. And yet I was at Baylor and graduated from Baylor, and guess what? Still single. Well, I started claiming this verse, and I started making it a reality in my life, and I made it a priority that I wasn't going to put finding a wife as my top priority, that I was going to put Jesus as my top priority. And here I was in this little bitty town called Marlin, Texas. No prospects in sight. But still trying to live righteously, still trying to put Him first. And as I'm serving that little youth group in Marlin, Texas, I get a phone call from another youth director in the area, 15 miles away, and it was Julie Ashburn. She was a youth director, and she called me and said, "Do you want to have our groups get together for a retreat?" And I hadn't seen her yet. First, everybody told me she was good looking, but I hadn't seen her yet. And I can remember driving over to Chilton, Texas to meet with her. And as soon as I saw her, I thought, oh my goodness, I could care less about this retreat. All I wanted was her. And as I got to know her, she was beautiful on the outside and she was beautiful on the inside. But here's the thing. I believe the reason God blessed me was because I put him first in Marlin, Texas. And I tried to do right in Marlin, Texas. And God took a smaller town to bring my wife to me. You see, God meets our needs like He blesses us. He gives you, and I like what it says, He gives you everything you need, not everything you want. When? When you put Him first and when you live righteously for Him. You see, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if Jesus is number one in your life. I don't know if He's number one in your family. I don't know if He's number one in your marriage. I don't know. But I do know this. If you don't have Him as number one, and if you're not living for Him, you're missing the blessing. Some of you think, well, if we don't do this with our kids, they're going to be behind everybody. No. Let me tell you what. If you teach your kids to put Jesus first, if you teach your kids to live righteously, they will be blessed. Don't buy the lie that's out there. I would suggest maybe memorize and meditate on this verse. It will. I promise you, if you live Matthew 6:33, it will change your life. And then the third thing, seek me, and this is so important, Jesus says, seek me one day at a time. He says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Man, that is wise. Don't worry about tomorrow. First of all, it won't do anything for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, because you have today, and today you need to concentrate on putting Jesus first and living for Him, and then you'll go to sleep, and hopefully you'll wake up tomorrow. And when you wake up tomorrow, guess what? It starts over again. You put Him first and you live for Him. And you just need to live one day at a time. Now that's hard for me to do. I like to live in the future, to figure everything out. But guess what? I'm not supposed to live in the future. He says, today's trouble is enough for today. And that is true. I don't know about you. Are you living one day at a time? Or are you worrying about tomorrow? Are you worrying about next? Listen, if you worry, it won't change one thing. It will only make it worse. So what are you supposed to do? Well, you need to pray about it. Pray instead of worrying. But here's the other thing, is you don't have to go through today or tomorrow by yourself. See, that's the advantage of knowing Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what I do know about today. Jesus is with me. Here's what I know about tomorrow. He's going to be with me then too. And if I face hard times, guess what? He's going to be there with me. So I just need to live every day, one day at a time, because that's the way Jesus says I'm supposed to live. And I know many times we borrow trouble and we worry about things we can't change, and yet Jesus wants us to live one day at a time, to seek Him one day at a time. So the question is this crisis tearing you apart? Are you worrying? Are you divided? Are you miserable? If so, do these three things. Seek Jesus by faith. Seek Jesus first in your life. and seek Jesus one day at a time. Those three things will make today better and definitely will make tomorrow better. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I want to be the first to confess that I am a failure most days with worrying. And I have gotten better. You would think at 61 I'd have it mastered, but I don't. But I have learned that when I start to worry, my quality of life goes down. And the best thing I do on a daily basis is I sit down, confess my sin of worry, and hand Him my worries one at a time. Father, I've also learned through experience that when I put you number one, when I live for you, when I live righteously, when I try to do what is right, and that when I live one day at a time, the quality of my life is so much better. Father, I know there are a lot of people that are listening this morning that are just worried. They're worried. It may not even be the virus that they're worried about, but they're worried about the future. It could be financial. It could be relationship. They're just worried. And Father, help them to memorize and apply verse 33. Seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and then to trust the blessing that you'll take care of everything else. Father, help us to live differently than the world. And I ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Very first.